You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Is in session. This is the Devy Seminar presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, joined as always by John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar, and Skip Newton. Fellas, on today's show, we are running through our risers and fallers from week one, and we're previewing a packed week two Devy slate. How we feeling?
Unbelievable. Fired up. Got some good Devy notes in last week. And now we got a nice group of players we can watch this weekend too.
Yep, I'm excited. I'm ready to get going on the Devy. Let's talk about it. Let's do this, man.
All right, let's start here with our news and notes segment. There's a lot that happened week one, a lot that we're learning heading into week two. Let's start here. Oregon freshman wide receiver Troy Franklin, who jumped up Devy boards when he landed atop the Oregon depth chart, ended up not really being involved in the week one game against Fresno State. It turns out that he was playing through an undisclosed injury. He is expected to play again Saturday versus Ohio State, so we're going to refrain from too much Devy judgment here on Troy Franklin just yet. Washington State head coach Nick Rolovich said on Monday that he is leaning towards Jaden Delora starting Saturday's game. So if you, for some reason, are still a Delora truther, you have hope still, my friends. Nebraska redshirt sophomore running back Marquise Stepp and freshman Gabe Irvin. Remember, we were excited about Gabe Irvin after week one. They are now listed as co-starters ahead of Saturday's game against Buffalo. Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian said on Monday that he will continue to look for opportunities to get redshirt sophomore Casey Thompson into games. Now, maybe this is a little bit of coach speak. Maybe this is wanting Casey Thompson to be involved in the offense, invested in Texas and not transfer. We'll see about that. But Casey Thompson's Devy status still remains in question. Speaking of Devy status in question, Wisconsin redshirt freshman running backs Jalen Berger and junior Isaac Guerrero are listed as co-backups this week. We're going to get into Jalen Berger a little bit more later. Minnesota redshirt junior Mo Ibrahim with a left leg injury has been ruled out for the remainder of the season. That is unfortunate. Memphis quarterback Grant Gunnell is likely to miss the next 2 weeks due to a lower body injury. I was a little surprised to not see Grant Gunnell out there for week one for Memphis. This definitely explains that. Fellas, a round of awards. Texas running back Bijan Robinson was named Walter Camp Player of the Week, which we have discussed at length, was an absolute robbery towards Kenneth Walker. But nonetheless, Bijan played very well, and he deserves credit for having a great week. UCLA redshirt freshman Zach Charbonnet was named Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Week. Gentlemen, Zach Charbonnet is getting a lot of hype. We're going to get into a little bit more of that later on. And Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week. So lots of awards and honors going around for some of the players that we were excited to see play. Anything jump out in particular or any news and notes you want to talk about on top of that, fellas?
One, I have a theory about Texas. Remember, you can leave after four games and retain your status to play. Remember, Derek King did that at Houston. He played four games, then he left the program. I believe he's playing Casey Thompson to keep him there through week five. He can't afford with a freshman to lose his best backup quarterback. The last thing Shark wants is Thompson to leave the program. If he can keep him there for 5 weeks, Thompson will probably stay with the Longhorns. So I think that's why he played him. Because why would there was no reason to put him in the game last week. But that's my thought. And really, Coach Nick Rolovich, did you never, ever, ever watch a Tennessee Volunteer game? I don't know what Jaden DeLauro did, but for you to go and play and not start him last week, it has got to be an egregious mistake. I mean, he must have done something unholy, because we've all seen what they put out there last week. It's mind-blowing to me. Just play DeLauro. Come on, coach.
I'm most interested to see what CJ Stroud does after his first game. He came out and looked, I don't know if it was nerves or he just wasn't quite ready, but did not play well in the first half. Started to make some plays in the second half. He's going to have to keep playing better, in my opinion, to make sure he keeps that job. We all love the Ohio State offense, so he's going to put up numbers, but he has got, you know, Kyle McCord and Quinn Ewers just sitting there waiting. No one knows what's going to happen with those two guys. I'm assuming all three of these guys won't be on the roster next season, but right now it's CJ Stroud's job to lose. He has to keep performing. I mean, they're trying to win a national title. That's a lot of pressure on a kid starting a second game this week.
You know what, Skip? There was an ESPN graphic. I don't know if anyone saw this. And you know those graphics where they print where the quarterback threw the football? It was fascinating. CJ Stroud, every pass was outside the hash marks. He never threw the football into the middle of the field, which is almost counterintuitive for a young quarterback. Right? So I don't know if this was kind of just what the defense was giving him and the game plan, but if he doesn't throw in the middle of the field against Oregon, there's going to be a problem. He needs to spread. He needs to attack the defense all over. I was shocked. It was a really eye-opening graphic when you saw it.
All right, fellas, let's jump into our risers and fallers. And we have a lot of risers after week one. I want to start here. I'll run through mine, and then we'll do Skip and John. I'm going to start here with a guy who I just feel like there was a lot lost, I think, in the Clemson-Georgia game, especially with DJU struggling so much. I think it's lost how much of a focus Joe Ngata was in that offense. Remember, last year we were so excited to see Joe Ngata come out and make an impact. Six receptions, 110 yards. Now, no touchdowns, but nobody scored an offensive touchdown in this game, so we're not knocking him on that. Ngata had 110 of DJU's 178 yards. That is significant to me. And what I noticed watching that game was the initial plan was to run the game through Justin Ross. And I think Justin Ross looked a little out of sync. And maybe it was the pressure. Maybe Ngata, you know, was a better, quicker check down for DJU than Justin Ross. But Ross playing in the slot probably should have been that guy. So I'm excited specifically for Ngata and to watch him over the next couple weeks, because we had been asking this question a ton. Who is going to take over the Clemson wide receiver room? And we at least have an early indication here in week one that it could be Clemson's Joe Ngata. My next guy up here is somebody I am so excited had a great week one. I had a lot of questions here. I kept him up in my top 75 Devy rankings all offseason. I don't think anybody else even had in their top 100 or 125. But Maryland quarterback Taulia Tagovailoa, in a small sample size, showed me a lot of what I wanted to see last season. And against West Virginia, which is supposed to be a pretty solid defense, certainly not, you know, a nation-leading defense, but a solid defense, Tagovailoa goes 26 for 36, 332 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. And he had some beautiful passes. He has great arm strength. He's got a pretty ball. He has a nice touch. And so I am very excited to see him leading this Maryland passing attack here.
They have some good receivers, folks. Wow, yes. Are those Maryland receivers good.
And certainly Rakeem Jarrett is moving up. But Dante Demas, I think, is somebody who is flying under the radar that all of a sudden has some Devy relevancy again. Gentlemen, Hudson Card, I thought, came out and had a great, great first week here. First time as a starter. I don't think he looked new to the game. He looked controlled. He looked like he was playing very confidently. 14 for 21 through the air, 224 yards, two touchdowns. He had six more carries. He didn't amount any yardage out of it, but he did have that touchdown, which is a nice little bonus there. There's a lot of directions you could go with Texas. Certainly Xavier are worthy, and his one reception looked good. Whittington led in actual targets, and Bijan Robinson we've already alluded to. But that is my big takeaway there from Texas, was really Hudson Card, because I think we knew Bijan was going to be special. heading over to the LSU game, certainly Kayshon Boutte put everything on display here. He is the real deal. He did move up in my rankings. I just couldn't deny the wide receiver position anymore. I was kind of knocking him a little. I had to move him up. That's an easy one. Nine receptions, 148, three touchdowns. But who I want to talk about here, the wide receiver two position at LSU is such an important, critical, valuable position. They always develop well. They always are successful, but they are always undervalued. And so right now it looks like Trey Palmer, at least from 1 week of work here, Trey Palmer looks like he's going to fit that wide receiver two role for the Tigers. Seven receptions, 47 yards. I liked his volume that he got. So I'm moving both Kayshon Boutte and Trey Palmer up the board. And my last riser, it's kind of a funny one because he didn't start the game necessarily, but Anthony Richardson. I thought Anthony Richardson would win this battle out of camp. I know he was an underdog approach, but I had been hyping up Anthony Richardson. I've got him stashed everywhere. He doesn't start. Emory Jones starts, but he goes 17 for 27 and 113 yards with a touchdown and two interceptions against Florida Atlantic University. This is even Lane Kiffin's Florida Atlantic University, all right? This is just regular old Florida Atlantic University, and Emory Jones struggles against him. But here's the impact, and here's why I thought Anthony Richardson would win out the job. Seven carries, 160 yards, and a touchdown. Remember what Dan Mullen was able to do with the mobile quarterback Dak Prescott at Mississippi State? You got to think the temptation here to play Anthony Richardson over Emory Jones, especially if he struggles again, is going to lead to Anthony Richardson being the starting quarterback here for the Florida Gators. Gentlemen, those are my five risers. Skip, I'll let you either comment on those guys or go ahead and dig into your four risers for the week.
I love your list, and I think I'm going to just comment on the one guy, and that's your first one, Clemson wide receiver Joe Ngata. It felt like going into last season, we were all wondering who's going to be the guy to kind of step up and be the main guy at Clemson. And we were thinking it was either going to be Frank Ladson Jr. or Joe Ngata. And it turned out it was neither one. So like, man, what happened to these guys? Now, maybe we're finally seeing that, right? It's like, wow, that was a huge performance in a really ugly offensive game. It was encouraging. So I think that's a great guy to bring up. Let's see if he can continue to do it. I'm excited for that because I do like Ngata as a prospect as well. I want to talk about a couple of wide receivers. The first one, Jameson Williams from Alabama, absolutely exploded in his first game after transferring from Ohio State, had over 100 yards. Of course, the big long touchdown everybody remembers. If you didn't watch the game, the speed stood out. This guy is wicked fast. And when you have a wide receiver in that Alabama offense that can get open deep, I think that's going to mean a lot of goodness from a fantasy perspective and from a Devy perspective for Jameson Williams. So I really like him as a riser. He could be a huge riser by the end of the season. We'll be talking about this guy as a draft pick on day one or day two. The next guy I already had as a day one draft pick, Chris Olave from Ohio State. I just wanted to bring him up because he keeps inching above other wide receivers that I have on the list. He's now up to my wide receiver two in the 2022 class, only behind Treylon Burks. He has made a steady incline on my rankings since really the middle of last season. Just the more I watch him, the more I like him. He's such a polished route runner. He's got the speed to go deep. He reminds me of Stephon Diggs from Buffalo, and that might be a real stretch for some people, but man, do I just love watching him play. So had to mention Olave. And then I gotta take the L myself because I was down on this guy for the last year or so. I know he's your guy, Matt, so I'm going to let you do that victory lap again. UCLA running back Zach Charbonnet looks so impressive. He doesn't look like the same player to me. I mean, it's just incredible. And like I said in a tweet the other day that it's not the production that's exciting me. It's how he's running. He looks explosive. He looks fast enough to get big gains. He's probably not going to, you know, outrun angles like guys that are freaky fast, but he's fast enough to make big plays. He's breaking tackles. He's running with aggression. And those are the kinds of traits that excite me about a running back and a guy that I think, okay, this guy could do something at the next level because he has enough size. And then the last guy I want to mention, Notre Dame tight end Michael Mayer. When it comes to Devy, I'm usually not super high on tight ends because they're so hard to predict. They take so long to develop. But man, does this guy look the part. He looks so good. And I don't have any shares of him in any of my leagues because I always fade tight end. I'm going to regret that with Michael Mayer because I think this kid is going to be outstanding. I think he's a first round draft pick waiting to happen. And if you can find a way to trade for him in your league, please do so. Especially if it's tight end premium or a two tight end league, you're not going to regret it.
Yeah. Skip, to your Zach Charbonnet point, and you know, we're not going to continue this. Yeah, we will. We will continue this victory lap as long as we can. But specifically what excites me this week about Zach Charbonnet is I've noticed some folks, so there's particular people in the draft industry that I've watched specifically to see who they are picking up on. And Zach Charbonnet is starting to pick up on the radar of folks who are tuned in well to the NFL and what the NFL likes from their prospects. And that is getting me excited about Zach Charbonnet. John, you got a couple of guys that are absolutely my guys as well on your risers list.
And before I go into my three players, I'm going to take a little humble brag as I finally notice that people are on Team Matt Corral. Welcome aboard, people.
Absolutely.
I've been telling you about Matt Corral for about 8 months now. If you would watch Devy Bingo with Matt and I wax poetically about Matt Corral. I had Matt Corral number 3 at quarterback behind Spencer Rattler and Sam Howell. All summer. Welcome aboard. There's plenty of room. Seats are cheap. Come on board. But I couldn't rise. You know why? He was already Rose on my bed. There was nowhere for me to go. So I couldn't put him in the riser. Come on board. Whoop, whoop. Train is leaving the station, folks. So now... If you're not watching Boston College for Zay Flowers and Phil Jurkovec, get out of the Devy community. These two young men are great, folks. Zay Flowers is going to be drafted in the second round. As long as it's, you know, it's always dependent on combine. Obviously, that matters. Zay Flowers is spectacular. And Phil Jurkovec, I have him at number 14 on my Devy rankings. 6'5", 226, and more mobile. He's no Lamar Jackson, but he is mobile, 289 career rushing yards. He's very good in the pocket for a big man.
6'5",
229, and he can throw. Find the touchdown to Zay Flowers, folks. He threw that like it was a little flower. It was a kiss 50 yards down the field. Phil Jurkovec is the real deal. You better start watching Boston College because both these young men are going to be talked a lot about. Zonovan Knight, I've talked about him. He's in my, I think I have him at number 12 at running back for a long time. I had him as a sleeper in my CFF All-American Sleepers column. Absolutely love Zonovan Bam Knight. 163 yards rushing, 16 yards receiving, and a touchdown. I was ecstatic. The only thing was, why is Ricky Pearson? But Ricky Pearson was so effective, I can't complain. I understand why they played him. Zonovan Knight is the real deal. I've heard whispers. They think he's a second-round pick, the NFL. Ladies and gentlemen, the NFL likes Zonovan Knight a lot, a lot. He's going to rise a ton. Get on board. And Skip and I talked about this last week when we were previewing the Texas A&M game. I talked about Aeneas Smith. Ladies and gentlemen, he was the focus of the offense. I mean, he was unbelievable in this game. 8 receptions for 100 yards, three carries for 16 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The NFL likes Aeneas Smith a ton. He is that Kadarius Toney-type player. They love those types of players, and he's from the SEC. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think there's an SEC bias in the scouting community in the NFL, you're not reading the national press. They're going to like Aeneas Smith a ton, folks. Those are my 3 risers.
All right, John, and I know you wanted to give a particular shout-out here to a group of wide receivers out of the group of 5 that are earning respect amongst the Devy community.
My favorite thing, I love scouting the group of 5. I know it's a much harder challenge to make it in the NFL. Matt and I love Jarrett Patterson. He didn't get drafted, but he made the Washington Football Club.
He sure did.
So I love this level. Now, I believe, having watched the group of 5 over the last 3 years, the receivers down there are better than they've ever been. And I'm going to give you my top 5 Devy group of 5. And if you're not watching these, folks, I don't know why you're playing Devy. Jalen Cropper of Fresno State. He's going to get drafted.
He's got an NFL talent. Absolutely.
There's no question about it. Khalil Shakir. Now, Boise State wide receivers haven't done unbelievable in the NFL, but I think Shakir's the best of all the Bronco playmakers.
Yes,
he is a special talent. And what I like about him, he can return kicks. So he's a day one plug-and-play player at the NFL. You've got to watch him. That was a great game. And he was on a snap count against UCF. Oh, my God, and he was great that day. Romeo Dubs, NFL size, body, physicality, playing with Carson Strong. My only thing, I don't know how purely athletic he is. We need a 40 time. But that's going to – Romeo Dubs could shoot up with his size-adjusted 40. He's a very good wide receiver. Dwayne Eskridge this year, Matt and I talked about it in the summer on the Devy Bingo. It's Justin Hall, folks. He is if you did not watch him last weekend, Justin Hall is awesome. They put him in motion, jet sweeps. They throw him the ball. They run him out of the backfield. They run deep. He catches home runs. Justin Hall is going to be drafted by the end of the 3rd round. And Jalen Tolbert of South Alabama, another one. The NFL draft community likes him a ton. You've got to watch the group of 5 players. These are my top 5. I believe right, and this is just next year. There's other group of 5, but right now, I believe all 5 of these players get drafted by the NFL.
Yeah, I would say certainly, you know, at least in day 3. I think Tolbert's got a good shot to go day 2. I think Cropper could play his way, or Dubs could play their way into day 2 with their play style. I think Shakur is going to be a day 3 pick, but I think he's going to be a dang good day 3 pick.
He is going to be a darn good.
All right, gentlemen. Well, when there's risers, there's fallers. So we got to talk about some guys dropping down the board. And I got to tell you right off the bat, it's quarterback Graham Mertz. I think there was this real hope in the Devy community that he could hold over. We could hold him through the offseason, keep him a higher rank. But I think we need to come to terms. Now, he played a tough Penn State defense here, but Graham Mertz, 22 for 37, 185 yards, 2 interceptions. I think we could all say it was a pretty disappointing performance there.
Yeah, that was
that's
brutal.
That's the understatement.
And then his teammate, Jalen Berger, and I know it because of injury, but he hasn't gotten on the field. We talked about that he's listed as a co-backup now. And here's the problem is that Ches Malusi looked good. 31 carries for 121 yards and a touchdown. I'm moving down both of these Badgers in the Devy rankings. Are you all on the same page?
I definitely am. Yeah, I've been questioning Berger as that next Wisconsin running back. They always kick out these great running backs, and I just didn't see it with him, and we're not seeing it now. I mean, so there's no reason to keep him up there. I think you got to react to what you see, and I Malusi is definitely the guy, at least so far. So, yeah, I'm down on Berger for sure.
I'm not happy. I like Berger. I thought he showed me flashes. I know the numbers weren't brilliant, but I expected more out of him. But yeah, I'm benching him. I'm not. There's no way he's making my starting lineup. And yeah, Devy rankings way, way lower.
This is going to be an interesting one. You know, I put Parker Washington out of Penn State as a faller. You know, he had an interesting matchup. You know, I'm just kind of curious here if he's going to lose a little bit of his shine as Lambert, Smith, and Dotson continue to shine against him. You know, in Devy, we don't like crowded back or, you know, receiver groups or backfield groups. We want to pick our guy. And it seems like, you know, based on what we saw last week, Jahan Dotson, I think, is going to get the quick rise this year. He's draft eligible. I think he's going to gain a lot of momentum. And I'm just kind of trying to forecast a little bit here. And I think that as Dotson gains momentum, folks are going to kind of back off of Parker Washington. And that might cycle back next year, right? We might get back on Parker Washington next year. But if I had to try to forecast value here over the next couple months, I think we're going to lose a little bit of that Parker Washington value. Am I overthinking this, fellas?
I'm still on Parker Washington. He was so good as a freshman, broke out an early age. Now, this is a big game. They're playing Ball State. He needs to show me something. I'll give him a pass. That Wisconsin defense played so well. I'll give him a pass. Then he has Auburn, so I'm kind of looking forward to that contest. And then his schedule, it's an okay. Villanova, Indiana, Illinois, Maryland, Rutgers. So there's some nice matchups. I'm holding him steady right now, but I think he could go in either direction, my friend.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm not going to drop him, but I think the fact that Jahan Dotson is looking so good is going to kind of overshadow him, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's like I'm not dropping Parker Washington, but I am noticing Jahan Dotson. Like, okay, he needs to move up the rankings.
All right, fellas, two more fallers here. I know it's unfortunate, but we have to address Mo Ibrahim. If we're looking at Mo, he was somebody who I think was going to be a late momentum riser through the draft process. I liked his tape. I thought it was good. I didn't expect him to be higher than a day three pick, despite liking him, because I don't perceive him as somebody who's going to test well athletically. And so now you add a lower body injury to somebody who I think is going to struggle at the combine. I really hate to see it, or I hate to say it, but I'm not sure there's much left here in the Mo Ibrahim Devy value. I think we've kind of bottomed out on that. Do you think that's too rough?
Unfortunately, I don't. I think that's fair. It's such an unfortunate injury, and you know he's such a hard working, hard playing running back. But yeah, that coming off a significant injury, and the tape looks good. But I agree with you. I think the testing is going to be questionable, and he doesn't have, you know, any receiving production to show as well, which is such an important part in the NFL these days. So yeah, it's really tough go here for his Devy value.
Yeah, I never thought he was incredibly elusive, right, or quick. So to have your Achilles blown out and then maybe you don't test as well, that is clearly to me a concern. Look at his vision, ability to get through between the tackles, his toughness, his grit, that was all there. But man, if he loses any of that speed, when I don't think he was very fast originally, yes, that's a major concern. And I wish the young men the best because I love watching him.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's and Skip said it. He's not a pass catcher, at least on film. I mean, we don't have any evidence really that he's a pass catcher.
Absolutely. One more note here. You know, Georgia tight end slash wide receiver Eric Gilbert. I mean, he just continues to be away from the program, and that's fine. He should focus on himself and his personal health. But we're already seeing Georgia kind of replace that production. I think we're just so far from tight end one Eric Gilbert. I pivoted early to Michael Mayer as tight end one, and I think that's kind of where all the folks are at now. It's difficult, but I think we're going to have to wait for Eric Gilbert to come back.
Yep.
I agree. I hope the young man gets it together first and foremost. So yeah, that matters the most. But looking back, I think the majority of people had Gilbert ranked ahead of Meyer.
And now
it's not even close. Meyer's been unbelievable, and Gilbert can't even get on the field. It's a shame.
All right, fellas, a bit of an odd slate here, but we kind of changed up the way we want to do slate preview. I've identified the 10 games I think are the most relevant to watch for Devy Fantasy Football. So this is not in order of what I think the most fun game to watch is or what will be the best game to bet on or anything like that. I'm trying to highlight if you only have X number of games to watch, but you want to be, you know, you want to follow along and be an active Devy player, here are the top 10 games. And we're going to start here. Number 10 is Penn State versus Ball State. Skip, I'm willing to think most of the Devy value is going to be on the Penn State side, but who are you watching from a Devy perspective for this game?
Yeah, ironically, we've already mentioned every guy, so that makes true. This job really easy. I mean, John okay. brought up Justin Hall from Ball State, so awesome group of five wide receiver. And then for Penn State, we got the two wide receivers, Parker Washington and Jahan Dotson. But then I want to throw in also their leading running back, Noah Kane. Definitely got to keep your eye on him.
All right, John, number 9 on the slate here. It's Florida versus bitter in-state rival, South Florida, which I should mention is a 1 o'clock game on ABC. Who are you watching for on the Devy side, John?
Well, I'm just going to break the news to anyone. There's no one on South Florida that I'm interested in. Sorry to shatter all those, the Bulls faithful out there. There's no one there. Florida to me is it Emory Jones or Richardson. Matt was talking great about Richardson. He liked Richardson. I had Emory Jones as a sleeper. I moved him up into my top 24. I thought he looked terrible throwing the football. He made a really bad decision on that interception in the end zone. I thought that was a bad decision. Can Emory Jones keep Richardson off the field? A week ago, I would have said yes. Not so convinced right now. The only thing Jones has going for him, if he gets out there first, Florida should smack USF. So he has an opportunity to put up 3 or 4 touchdowns in the first half to at least keep his job for another week.
Also, what's up with Florida here? They're playing FAU. They're playing USF. At least take on UCF. Come on, man. What are you doing here?
They're not even playing the hard ones.
All right, how about a little Pac-12 after dark action? Arizona State versus UNLV. It's a 10:30 kickoff on ESPN. I absolutely love winding down my Saturday nights with the Pac-12. Arizona State is chock full of Devy talent, and we didn't get to see the full scope week one because they were playing Southern Utah. So now we're going to get a full game here of Jaden Daniels, a full game of the running backs, whether it's Tranium or Rashad White. They split carries almost evenly in the first week. And don't forget about LV Bunkley Shelton. I think he's going to be the wide receiver to emerge. We've seen Arizona State wide receivers emerge on the draft scene. So those are the Devy guys that I'm focusing on. I have absolutely nothing for you for UNLV. Number 7 here on our rundown, it's Georgia versus the University of Alabama, Birmingham. That's a 3:30 ESPN 2 kickoff. Skip, what's your focus for this game?
Everything on this one is going to be on the Georgia side. And I know we mentioned that JT Daniels is now nursing an injury, so that'll be interesting to watch. I'm curious from a couple different aspects of this one. At wide receiver, will someone step up for Georgia and have a really good game? So far, no one has done that. Interesting how with their tight end issues, you already mentioned Eric Gilbert, but true freshman Brock Bowers led the team in receiving last week, 6 catches for 43 yards. He was very highly recruited. He's highly rated. So I'm interested to see if that continues. But then, of course, running back, you've got Zamir White and second-year player Kendall Milton. He was a highly recruited freshman a year ago. I love Kendall Milton. I want to see him get more touches. Let's see how that works out. It was about 2-to-1 touches for White last week. Will that continue, or will Milton get closer to 50-50?
All right. This, I think this is going to be a really good college football matchup. But Iowa State, man, I mean, how appropriate is their mascot? Because just like a cyclone, they are so unpredictable in what path they're going to take. John, it's our number six game of the week here. It's a 4:30 p.m. ABC kickoff. What are you looking for here in the what is it called? It's the Cy-Hawk Bowl?
I think so. They do have a name for this game. But living in Connecticut, it's not the front page news, so I don't know.
What I think it's a Cy-Hawk trophy or something.
Yeah, yeah, there is clearly a name. To me, I want to see Breece Hall stay focused and competitive. This is going to be a very big game, in my opinion. And I don't care what the rushing totals are. I don't care if he goes for 22 carries for 71 yards. Did he fight? Did he keep his legs moving? Did he give me a positive attitude? Because you know the Hawkeyes, they are going to be zeroing in on Breece Hall. So I just want to see this young man in an adversarial position against a tough defense from the Big Ten. On Iowa's side, there's two players. Running back Tyler Goodson. I don't think he's an NFL product right now. I don't think he's fat. He's borderline. I'm open to him. I don't have him ranked very high. He's been productive, but I wonder about his elusiveness and vision at the NFL level and a little bit of toughness. That's a different story, but I'm watching him. Tight end Sam Laporta. Iowa has had very good tight ends. George Kittle, Noah Fant, TJ Hockenson. A lot have been written about Sam Laporta. He had a nice opening week. Let's see him take the next step.
All right, number five here, a game that probably was a lot more exciting to ABC in the offseason. Michigan versus Washington. You know, despite an interesting first week for both of these teams, I think there's a lot of intrigue and a lot of Devy value. Cade McNamara, 9 for 11, 136 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm interested. I want to see if we can see more McNamara, if he's throwing the ball 20 to 25 times, if he can keep that same level of consistency, that same level of playing under control. Blake Corum, the running back there, 14 carries for 111 yards, 1 touchdown. We were waiting for a running back to emerge, and he looked good. He had some nice flashes. Can this be a thing? Can Corum gain some momentum here? He's still definitely only on, you know, what I would call the watch list level for Devy purposes. But I think he could gain some momentum. And over on the Washington side of the ball, coming off of a wildly disappointing week one there for the Huskies. But tight end Cade Otton, 8 receptions, 82 yards. Cade Otton is heading to the NFL. The question is whether it'll be sooner or later. But he's also going to be the focal point of this offense. He's going to have a primetime exposure, 8 o'clock p.m., ABC. I'm excited to watch that game. I got to tell you, I am Missouri-Kentucky, 7:30 SEC Network. They might get the main screen. I am interested to watch the Tigers and the Wildcats. And fellas, I know you're not as locked into the SEC, especially the SEC East as me, but Mizzou and Kentucky are the two teams that are vying right now for that next team up that's always in the East. It's Georgia, it's Florida, and then there's always that next team up. And with Tennessee down, Mizzou and Kentucky are fighting for it. I think this is going to be a hard-scrapping battle. Skip, tell us who you're looking for in this game.
You know, I don't have a lot of Devy guys I'm into. So, Matt, if there's somebody I missed, please let me know. But I think the one guy I'm most interested in is Wandale Robinson, the wide receiver at Kentucky. Of course, he transferred from Nebraska. Had an immediate impact last week, 5 catches, 125 yards, 2 touchdowns. If he continues to put up numbers like that, I think people are going to start to get excited about him again. I mean, he kind of fell off people's radar. They were excited about him before, but he never seemed to realize the potential and the hype. But obviously 125 yards and 2 scores, that definitely matches production with the hype. So let's see if he can continue to do that.
Yeah, I would just add in here, and I have to check myself because I have a proficiency to fall in love with running backs that aren't quite big enough for the NFL. But Tyler Beatty for Mizzou, 25 carries, 203 yards, and a touchdown. Mizzou loves the bell cow back role, and I think Beatty could play his way into the NFL draft radar. Also, true sophomore, Connor Bazelak, who they are very excited about, went 21 for 32, 257 yards and 2 touchdowns. I think we're far from him being relevant, but it's definitely not inconceivable. And of course, Will Levis, the former Penn State quarterback who eats his bananas, peel and all, will be on full display there in that game as well. John, USC Stanford, 10:30 kickoff on Fox. USC playing at 10:30. It doesn't feel right, but it sounds pretty good.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. Hey, I know Matt's a big fan of Keaton Slovis. He likes him more than I do. I do like Keaton Slovis.
Looked good week one.
He looked great. I think he looked tremendous. He looked more like he did his freshman year than he did last year. I thought he played great. Keontae Ingram, interesting player. Can he work his way up into a day three NFL running back? Not sure. Need to see more. But my friends, how good did Drake London and Taj Washington look together? Drake London had 13 receptions. I'm still stunned that they just peppered him. Now, I'm a little bit worried. He still was running a ton of short routes and a ton of intermediate stuff. And I didn't see a lot of separation. And those were things I was hoping to see a little bit more of. But you can't ignore 13 receptions. And the NFL is going to like the body and the size. So I can't wait to see him. And Taj Washington, the young man who transferred over from Memphis. Matt and I spoke about this. We thought they were loaded at wide receiver, but they lost Brew McCoy. Jake Smith can't get on the field. All of a sudden, Taj Washington is in a prime spot to smash for the Trojans. Can't wait to see this. And unfortunately, I don't know if I want to see any of that Stanford side. What has happened to the Cardinal? I mean, whoa, there's just not much there. I was very disappointed in Austin Jones. Let's see if he can bounce back. The quarterback isn't pretty. The wide receivers aren't exciting. Not a lot there, folks.
Man, Austin Jones was a DFS lineup killer last week. Oh, man, I had some good lineups that he just absolutely sunk. All right, number two here is Texas at Arkansas. I think this is a sneaky good game. Is this a former Southwest Conference matchup, I believe?
It is.
Yeah.
Arkansas used to be in the Southwest.
Yes. 7 o'clock kickoff here, ESPN. A start on the Arkansas side of the ball. Treylon Burks ended up getting a little bit of run last week, 5 receptions for 42 yards. We were worried about with the injury. I think this is going to be the Burks show against Texas. I think Arkansas knows that they want to be competitive in this game, and they know that Treylon Burks is going to be a huge piece of that. Look for him to get the ball downfield at the line of scrimmage. Look for him to go in motion, take a jet sweep at some point. They're probably going to line him up as a running back at some point. They're going to be moving Burks all around. And KJ Jefferson didn't have a tremendous game passing, but he had that nice run there, 9 carries for 89 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm excited to see more KJ Jefferson. I didn't, believe it or not, fellas, I did not go back and watch the Arkansas Rice game in depth here, but I will be watching KJ Jefferson against Texas. And of course, on the Texas side, it's Bijan Robinson, it's Hudson Card. Let's see if we can see more Xavier Worthy this week. I'd be really excited about that as well. And Skip, number one game of the week, to nobody's surprise, chock full of Devy talent. It's Ohio State, it's Oregon. It's a 12 p.m. big noon kickoff, the best game of the week. And of course, it's on Fox.
Yeah, this one has got Devy deliciousness written all over it. On the Oregon side, you know, you got to like the prospects of Troy Franklin, true freshman wide receiver playing. I know from a Devy perspective, he might be the number one guy that I'm interested in Oregon. CJ Verdell, running back. He's been around a couple years already. Let's see if he can, you know, continue to put up better games and be more consistent. That's been his big rub in the past. He's been a very boom or bust kind of guy. Of course, on Ohio State, it's all over the place. You know, you've got CJ Stroud starting his second game as a redshirt freshman. He looked much better in the second half last week. Of course, he's got weapons galore. You've got future first round picks, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. I love them both. They're awesome. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the number third wide receiver in Ohio State. Let's see if he can get a little more volume because he is one of my favorite prospects from a year ago. And then at running back, I think the number one guy that we all want to see more of is Travion Henderson, the true freshman. I mean, absolutely exploded on the scene with that 70-yard catch and run for a touchdown. If he can get more touches, I think it's only a matter of time before he becomes the number one option there, despite the fact that Mayan Williams also looked good, and they still have Master Teague.
All right, Skip, my dark horse Devy player to watch for Ohio State, Oregon, is that when Oregon goes into halftime down three scores, they're going to put in Ty Thompson, and we're going to get to see him come back and dominate and lead the Ducks back into the game in the second half. I'm only joking a little bit. All right. That is our Devy seminar for this week. Thank you, as always, for listening. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. We will be back next week with the Blitz, with the Devy seminar, as always.